Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Hannah McIntyre. I hope you're all well. I wanted to start today by just telling you all that I have joined Buy Me a Coffee. No pressure at all, but if you would like to support the podcast and keep it advert free, I'm trying to keep it advert free because I hate adverts on podcasts, but equally it's a labour of love and a lot of time and effort and yeah, so trying to find that balance always. So if you would like to support the podcast, please visit buymeacoffee.com/HannahMedium and you will see options there. And that would be gratefully received. Equally, it's always wonderful if you can just share the podcast posts on your social media. That is a massive gift that you can give me too. So either of those would be wonderful. And in light of this, I would like to say that today's podcast is very kindly supported by Kat. So thank you very much, Kat, for your support. So let's get on with the topic. So today I wanted to talk to you about earthbound spirits. Now, I know that I've done a podcast about the dark side of mediumship before and all that kind of thing, but I was listening to another medium talk quite recently about earthbound spirits, and I just want to talk to you guys about where I'm at with them. And as always, just disclaimer, reminder, whatever you want to call it, that we're all on a process, we're all on a journey. And you guys know that there was a time when I believed that people, spirits could get trapped here. Absolutely believe that. So I don't hold any shade towards anybody that believes that at all. But I have had quite a journey with that, and I find it very frustrating when people get stuck into a pattern with their beliefs. So whatever you do with your mediumship and your spirituality, the biggest gift that you can give yourself is questioning and learning and being as open as possible to all possible answers and outcomes, not just the ones that you think are going to come, believe are going to come. And it's a really hard thing to ask. It's a really hard thing to ask you to be just open and surrendering to the answer. And it took Spirit a long time for them to be able to get this answer to me. But the only reason that they were able to is because I made myself available to the answer. I asked and I let them teach me. And this is something that we need to be talking about, because there is no facts. I mean, there is facts in spirituality and mediumship. Of course there is. There's evidential mediumship. But I think a lot of spirituality is opinion. A lot of spirituality is people talking from the sum of their experiences. And where I think we get into the danger zone with that is people that think that the sum of their experiences so far are factual and can't take that moment to have a dialogue with the spirit world and speak to them and say, am I right with this, or am I confusing the issue? Is this... spend some time telling me the answer. Let's explore this. What can I learn? And I'm not telling you that I have reached the answer in anything. And I really want to make that clear. All answers are journeys. You can only receive stuff through your level of perception at any one time. Yeah. So always understand that, but also hold yourself accountable for that. And when I'm talking about answers from the spirit world, I don't mean that I say, hey, spirit guides, what about earthbound spirits? What does this mean? And they come in and go, well, Hannah, we've been waiting for you to ask this question. It comes in stages. My questions about entity release, attachments, and earthbound spirits were given to me over the period of a year to 18 months, because I had to unfold enough to be able to hear the answer. And you can, you know, we're going back to valves again here, but it's such a good analogy. If you're receiving through those valves, you can only receive what you're able to receive, and you can't go from one way to completely open. You have to turn your valve slowly and gradually and allow it to become open with a naturalness. So just in case you've not heard previous episodes of the podcast, let me tell you a little bit of history about this. My first teacher, the lady who I owe so much to, such an amazing medium, believed when I worked with her, I don't know if she still does, in earthbound spirits and attachments and entities and all of that kind of stuff. And because she was my first teacher, I treated her almost with biblical knowledge. So it was very much everything she said I took as gospel. And that's, I think, how the journey starts for all of us, because there aren't many teachers out there that deliver from a place of you have the answer, you know what's best for you. A lot of teachers come from their teaching, their experiences, and it becomes cyclical, it becomes recycled. And I did that. I'm not judging anyone that does that. I did that. So I got taught by my teacher stuff. When I became a teacher, I taught her stuff, which she had been taught by her teacher, and the cycle continued and the cycle continued. And I'm really lucky, I think. Well, it's equally a blessing and a curse that I have a super clinical questioning mind. And so I'm always thinking, and sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes not so much. Sometimes it leads to existential crises. But sometimes it helps me to be open to the answer. Because if you don't ask, you don't receive. The spirit world aren't going to come in and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you're getting it all wrong. It's kind of your responsibility to open up to it and say, hey. And so I was a trained entity release practitioner. I had a certificate and everything, guys. Like, oh my God. And when I was working with that, in my mind's eye, I saw some absolutely crazy shit. Some really scary stuff. And spooky stuff. And it took me a long time to understand that that was my brain's interpretation of things. And a lot of it was the work with the shamanic people that helped me with that, because when we went to the shadow level, or whatever you call it, it's not the, oh God, I'm such a bad pupil. Anyway, you go down into the dark and it's a bit creepy and a bit uncomfortable, but you find things out about yourself that, it's like the underworld, but it's not the underworld. Sorry, shamans, don't be shaking your heads at me. I try my absolute hardest. But that really taught me that your mind will feel an energy and pick up an energy, and it will bring you something spooky and horrible because it's an uncomfortable energy and your brain is trying to interpret it through the filter. A lot of people, when they're working with energy in the spirit world, think that the picture that they receive is the picture. And I don't think it always is. In fact, I think it rarely is. Sometimes it is. But what's more likely to happen is that you will get your brain will go through its knowledge base of images and objects and things you've seen and experienced, and then it will try and bring you the best fit image. So that's always a problem. So when I did the work with the shamanic center and I went into my underworld, dark world, I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, for example, with me, there was this beautiful golden bejeweled treasure chest that just came out of the mist in my mind's eye. And it was huge. It was like a blanket box covered in blue and red gems, gold. I can see it so clearly. And when I opened that box up, inside was a little screwed up, almost mummified, almost fetal version of me with no hair, all looked starved and crispy and, if you've seen Harry Potter, you'll know it's like Voldemort in that, a bit like that, when he gets all screwed up and shrunken and fetal. It was like that. And it was when I opened the treasure chest, it was such a, what the hell is that? And then I realised it was me. I realised it had my face. And I realised it was to do with self-love and accepting parts of myself that I had disconnected from. And so I picked up that husk of crusty disgustingness and I held it to my chest and I rocked with it and I sang to it and I kissed it and I loved it. And in sitting with it, it expanded. It became hydrated. It grew. It grew hair. It became more like me and more like me and more like me. And ultimately, when it became exactly like me, I absorbed it back into myself. Now, that was a very visual experience for me of that moment. But the point I'm making here is when I first opened that treasure chest, I was horrified. It was disgusting. I wanted to turn away from it. I wanted to look away. And this is what I think happens with earthbound spirits. So one of the things that I think happens is we as people who are experiencing and processing energy, we are trying to feel, well, we know, don't we? Normally when you're doing an earthbound spirit scenario, you've been called to somebody's house because they feel like something's not right there. Or you're out in the world on, I hate the term ghost hunt, but you know what I mean. You're on that kind of experience. So you're going seeking, looking for the classic idea of ghosts. And of course, that means that that is what your filters, your valves are turned to. They're on that kind of mode. And what I think an earthbound spirit actually is an energy that's been left behind when the spirit passed to the spirit world. So I believe that there is no question, we just go home. And the reason there's no question is because this physical space is the illusion, the spirit world is the reality. And so it's like shrugging off the outfit that you've been wearing at the end of the night. It's like you've been clubbing and you're kicking off your heels and you're taking off your outfit, your dress, and you're wiping off your makeup. But it's even more instantaneous than that. It's just your dress dropping to the floor or just you kicking off your heels. And that is, I'm back in spirit. You're just shrugging off the meat shell. And so there is no separation in the way that we think there is. And the reason why I found that out is because I asked spirit, because it just seemed weird to me that I was going into people's houses and then I was calling in the angels to help clear the energy and they were coming. But then on the other hand, we were being taught that angels were all seeing, almighty, all powerful. The spirit world sees and knows everything. The spirit world has an intelligence. So what are they doing with these? What are they just ignoring the stuck? And I heard somebody saying the other day that it's all about choice for the spirit. They've got to choose to go back home. They've got to choose to go through to the other side. But that again still speaks of separation, and I still don't think there is separation. Like every spirit that I've done an evidential connection with, they're with you and they're in heaven simultaneously. There is no choosing, no choice. It's not one or t'other. They're there. And I believe that all of us, every single soul that's here, whether we go down the rabbit hole that I was on the last podcast or not, every single soul that's here, it's our learning as an individual, yes. But do we think that we don't share that? Do we think that it's like like your homework where you don't want someone to copy and you're sitting at your desk at school with your arm around it and you're turning your shoulder to try and prevent someone having a look? Do we think that sounds like spirit, or do we think that sounds like humans? So I don't think there is, I think everything is combined and everybody learns from everybody. Every soul learns from every soul, whether that soul is just one soul or multiple souls, who knows? But we all learn from everybody. It's a collective. We share. And so I don't believe that the souls would become trapped here because they haven't finished their learning journey in that abundance of learning that there is. I don't know. But anyway, so I just asked Spirit why they needed me, to call them in to then help Spirit pass. Now, I have done rescue circles. I have seen spirits passing in the hundreds, in the thousands over to the other side. But did I see that? Or did I just see big healing? Did I just see the, I can't think of the word, dissolvement, that is not the word, but you know what I mean, the dissolving of the energies left behind? Because generally, in fact, always, when people talk about spirits that are trapped here, they've always passed in trauma, upset, sadness, horror, difficulty. You don't get a nan that dies 95 years old in her bed, falling asleep peacefully, ready to leave, her family around her, holding her hands, peacefully slipping away. You don't hear of those spirits being trapped on earth. And, you know, some of you will have had very bossy nans who won't have been ready to go. Are they trapped here on earth? No, I don't believe they are. And so I think what mediums are feeling in that scenario is the echo of the person that's been left behind. And quite often, and you'll see this on televised ghost hunts, and when people are talking about it, these spirits are cyclical. They're walking in a cycle. They're seen in the same place, going round and round and round and round in the same place, And I actually think that's because they're not a spirit. It's the energy they've left behind that we can feel. And so that's why you get that kind of cyclical experience there. Because let's be honest, if you were Anne Boleyn, let's do Anne Boleyn, and you were treated abominably by Henry VIII, and then to make that even better, you ended up with your head lopped off. And you were haunting wherever she got her head chopped off. I'm not that good with Anne Boleyn, but you know what I mean. Wouldn't you also head over to Jamaica just to have a look? Like, if you were trapped earthbound, or are we saying that people only get trapped in areas? But we're not saying that, are we? Because Anne Boleyn's supposed to haunt many different places in the UK. So she's not just haunting Hever Castle. She's haunting other places. But she is trapped here. But equally, she's not gone to Jamaica to have a look round on holiday because she's trapped, but she's trapped in several different locations, but she's trapped. Do you see what I'm trying to get at here? Where's the logic? Where's the understanding of the intelligence of the spirit world? So again, I'm not telling you that this is the only way. All I'm asking you to do is think about it. If you are going on a hunt and you're looking for spirits or you're looking for ghosts, that's where your receiver is set to. So you are going to get those kind of creepy energies because that's what you're seeking. Have you thought about, well, why is it? Why is it then that we can have haunted pubs? All the cool and fun things that have happened in pubs over the years, there will be people who have died where that pub was their favourite place in the whole world. But you never get Ken, bricklayer, 50 years old, this pub was his favourite place, coming through, do you? You never get that on a ghost hunt. You always get the weary traveller who was poisoned on horseback when they stayed for the night on the run from the law. Or something like that. Why is that? Because Ken's not trapped, but the weary traveller is. Why is the weary traveller trapped and Ken isn't? Because we believe in a spirit world and a God and a presence that goes, you can stay, you can't? Or because we believe that that spirit has the option for all of the amazement of the spirit world and has shuffled off this mortal coil and then goes, no, it's all right, I'll stay, thanks. I don't think I'll finish my learning. Or I just, yeah, it just seems. So what do you think? And where are you at with it? But it's just something, again, to get you thinking, to get you understanding. And of course, when you're trying to translate in your mind the negative energy of somebody that has had a traumatic death and the energy that they leave behind, of course you're going to see that as spookiness. Of course it's going to make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Of course it's going to make you go, "Bwah." But it doesn't mean that it's the spirit world. It could just be the energy that's been left. And I may have said this before, but if you are a ghost hunter and you are going to places that you know are haunted and you believe that spirits can be trapped here and you believe that you're communicating with spirits, and why aren't you helping them? Why are you going there, talking to them through a device, getting evidence from them, and then going, "All right, I'll see you next month, same time, sell out," and working with that? That just seems weird to me. So just question and think and ask the spirit world to teach you. And as I've said to you guys before, I live opposite a graveyard. I have all sorts of energy. I mean, I live in a house that was built in 1800. We have all sorts of people visiting who used to live here who like to look around, because this is that kind of house. Actually, living and dead, we have people visiting. It's that kind of house. People who lived here in the 60s have come and knocked on our door and asked if they could have a look around and told us that their daughter was born in our spare bedroom and all sorts of stuff like that. And then we have the spirits that used to live here, the Baptist preacher popping in and having a look and complaining that we've put a pool table in the middle of his office where he used to meet people. That's okay. But it's when we start thinking that people don't have easy and fluid passage that I think we're really working in something very limiting and very fearful. And as people who are working in the light and being that representation for the spirit world, you don't know where those messages are going to reach. You don't know what mum has lost their son because he sadly took his own life. Is hearing you say that suicides often get trapped on earth and then worrying even more in her grief and her loss that he's not okay. When every single spirit that I have ever spoken to, and I've had people that have been, had their lives taken from them, and I've had people that have taken their own lives, and I have had people who have fought to stay and been unable to stay. I've had somebody come through who was killed by a brick that fell off scaffolding, completely unexpectedly walking down the street. We, in all of that mix and match, none of them have ever said, "I've become earthbound, I've been stuck." So what is that about? So yeah, something to chew over, something to think about, something to work where you sit with it. And I know this topic, when I sort of touched on it before in previous podcasts, it did press a few buttons, but message me. But message me more than just a story of your experience when you got spooked, because I can tell you times that I got spooked, and I may have shared this story before, but I'm going to share it with you anyway because it's hilarious. When I first started this journey with the spirit world, my sister came over and she's got a little chihuahua, and Ren, the chihuahua, was barking into the corner of the room where we were sitting, and we both got a bit spooked and we could both feel something in the corner of the room, and he was going, "Wah, wah, 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 wah." And I said, I don't know who you are, but please go away. You're freaking us out. And as soon as I said that, the barking, Ren sat down and went to sleep, and the feeling went. And then my sister said to me, "I actually think that's worse than that, that he stopped and they went, because now that means there was something there." And the next week I went to my development circle and my teacher said, "Why did you tell your grandmother to go away this week?" So again, real lessons. It felt spooky. It felt scary. It felt uneasy. But it was my gran. It's my granny. So why would I have, in real life, she was the softest, loveliest, sweetest lady ever. But of course, in that moment, because it was dark and it was nighttime and we'd been watching something stupid on the TV, we both went, "Ooh." And that's what we received back. But it doesn't mean it was fact. It just means that's how we were receiving. So yeah, tell me your thoughts. Let me know. But go on your own journey with it and see where that takes you. Because let's be honest, if there really were horrible bad spirits out there, would they not be trying to stop me sharing positivity, sharing love with you all? Would they not be silencing me in some way? Is anybody there? No, they're not. So have a lovely day. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast, and I will catch up with you all again soon.